You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
And welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Michael Schwab joining us now, Astros writer, host of Schwabcast. And he had Alex Bregman on recently. And you can find this. Michael Schwab joining us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Mike, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, man. So where do I find the Schwabcast?
You can find the Schwabcast on Apple, normal podcast place, or Spotify, or maybe you can find it in the mail, wherever you want to find it, but definitely Apple and Spotify.
There you go. So, you know, the usual places for podcasts, and this is something that you're going to want to listen to. He was kind of revealing one of the things that he said he's in a quick bite, that he's working out at shortstop. Now, just very casually, hey, I'm working out just in case they need me to play shortstop. But what do you think the odds are of that? That the Astros don't sign it, that maybe they go somebody at third base and Bregman plays short next year?
I mean, I think they're trying to keep all options open. Right now, I think the big plan is Diaz to kind of stopgap it and then probably bring up Pena through the year. Maybe he comes up to start the season. I mean, first off, we've got to have a season first with the lockout. But I think what we're seeing with Alex is that he was saying on my podcast that he wants to get back to his form. This is in about 2018, 2019, where he was doing his best. He said he was playing shortstop at third. I asked him particularly, he said, hey, if you were asked by Espada and Dusty to play shortstop, would you? He said, I'd play double. So he's going to be ready to hear it. He hasn't heard him say anything. But this shows you how determined he is in his training right now to prove that he can come back at 100%. If you listen to the podcast, he talks about the injuries with his hands and his hamstring and how he thinks he's 100% back. But it's an option if they need to go that way.
Michael Schwab with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The Schwabcast had Alex Bregman on it. Yeah, you asked him about being cocky Bregman. I like that. And he even admitted he hasn't been that same guy. I mean, he got to get that swagger back, no?
He's got to get it back. And he talked about it. He said that, you know, he hasn't been having fun with baseball lately, and not because of anything else besides his injury. I think he wanted to be back there at 100%, but he keeps getting hampered by the hand, which this is interesting that he dropped on our podcast, but he said that he hurt his hand, the one he got surgery on, in May and June. And he got an injection around the All-Star break. He said it helped a little bit with his grip. But he also said that he has no excuses. He said he played like crap. That's what he said. But also the hamstring thing is interesting because he was saying that he found the issue that was causing it. They said the hamstrings are the smaller issue from his hips, and he's working on the flexibility there. So all that has gotten in the way of him having fun with the game. I didn't say cocky on the podcast. I wanted to, but I said in your face. And he said that he'll be back. That side of him, taunting, having fun with the game, good walk-up music, getting in people's faces, we're going to see that in 2022.
You know, he says that, Michael, but I really wonder if we will see that because this has been gone now for all of 20, all of 2021. You know, I'm just curious if something fundamentally changed, if it's all about – we know it's just not about the injuries because, granted – 2020, they were coming off the scandal, and I think he was very embarrassed. And so he says we'll see it. I guess I'm just gonna kind of wait for that. Did you get a sense from Bregman in terms of talking to him, anything having to do with Correa and their thoughts? I know the players have nothing to do with it other than they want Carlos back, but I just wonder if there's ever a push from players towards the owner.
Yeah, I think the big push for Carlos is that, you know, they want him to get what he needs. And they all, I mean, first and foremost, they're all friends. And then they're colleagues. And I think they want Carlos to get what he says he's worth. They believe that truly. They also want him back on the team. And so even Lance talked about it at a press conference at the Texans, before the Texans game, which was the only noteworthy thing of that game. And he pretty much was saying they'd love to have Carlos back, but from his body language, you could tell it's not happening. My understanding is that it's just not going to happen, not because of Carlos, but because of just Crane doesn't want to do the years. And so the guys would love to have him back. Even on the podcast, Alex said they'd love to make it 150, games together in the playoffs. But, I think they're all preparing for him to be gone. I think they're still excited about the team. He even mentioned that he's happy with what Jim's doing and he's going to invest in the team. So maybe that's another big bat. They definitely need one. But I think they've known for a while that Carlos is gone, and so they're just happy for him.
So not signing before, I think it's a good thing for the Astros that nothing happened before, because it wasn't going to be the Astros before the lockout. What do you think? Do you think the Astros are back in it?
If Jim's willing to pay, so Jim's chance was before the season and before free agency. And I think what happened was when he offered 5 years and 6 years, that was probably the nail in the coffin. And I know a lot of people are focusing on the AAV, you know, the amount per year. But for a player like Carlos at that caliber, when you see someone like Seager get paid, 10 years through Rangers, then you're like, well, there you go. There's the market for yourself. And so if Crane wants to get Carlos back, he's going to have to at least get to 8 years, I think. I don't know if he's going to actually get there. So there is still always a slight chance, there's always a slight chance that, we could have a solar eclipse whenever we don't expect it. So, I think that it's probably not even close to happening, but, maybe there's a 99.99% chance as long as Crane wants to do the years. But for Carlos, he's taking his time. And the story about his back scaring people, I know that's for a fact true. I know people who know the situation on Carlos's side. It's not true at all. That's just, I think, trying to get the price down. My understanding is many people have reached out to him. He'll have the offers, and he'll be able to sign once the lockout's over. So right now, he can just chill and just get ready for the team that he'll be on.
If none of it is accurate in terms, if I'm reading what you're saying right, if there's a belief that that's just trying to draw the price down, I don't understand why anyone. You look at all the big deals that were done before the. Why in the world would you wait until after a collective bargaining agreement? I understand there may not be massive changes in it, and maybe you read the market and you say, okay, this isn't going to change. They're just going to get into playoff expansion. But you have a lot of owners now who have the ability to reset and say, you know what? We want to fight harder to get some of these contracts under control. Why would you take that chance if you're Carlos Correa and somebody is offering you money like Seager, if that's even on the table?
I think for Carlos, it's really a lot of betting on himself, which he's done many, many years. I mean, he did it this year. He bet on himself before the season. He ended up winning the Gold Glove and Platinum Glove, which is best defensive player in their league. And, that was some things that showed how strong he was at his position. He did offensive numbers better than he's ever done before. So I think he's betting on himself again. My understanding is that there are teams who are interested. I was told that major market teams who need a shortstop, all of them need a shortstop, are after him. So that's pretty much kind of, you can just read between the lines there. And we got to remember this, no matter what's going on with the lockout and what's going on with the money, it's monopoly money. With the collective, for the tax threshold, once you go over that, then the owner has to pay more. But if you're making money in revenue, like the Yankees or Dodgers or any of these big market teams, it kind of doesn't matter if you got a player like Carlos Correa on your team. So, I don't think we're going to miss him out of the lockout, not hitting anyone. I mean, you look at people like Freddie Freeman, who hasn't even been signed up yet. There's a lot of big names, so it's easy to laser focus on them, but there's still a lot of big names out there that are not injury related. It's just, to me, it looked like there was a lot of players before the lockout who were nervous, and that's why they signed quickly. That's how I took it. But, you know, I think time will tell. We'll just have to see that with after the lockout.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we know Boris said, you sign my guys or you're not getting them. Do it right away. Michael Schwab, Astros writer, host of a Schwabcast here with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So with Verlander now, it's Verlander, McCullers, it's then Fromber, Urquidy, and Garcia, we think. But as I understand it, man, Odorizzi is a pain in the ass in that locker room. And I'm not sure if he's going to be all tutti-frutti about going to the bullpen. Javier as well. I mean, what do you do? How do you think this rotation shakes out the first couple months of the season?
I think you've got seven starting pitchers, quality, quote, pitchers. For Odorizzi, I'm going to give him a pass because two big things. Number one, he missed spring training. Number two, he had a little bit of an injury. I want to see how he does this year. I think he can do a good work at the end of the rotation. But I think there's going to be a trade. Without question, there's going to be a trade because even if you move one of the seven, and my understanding is it's going to be five man because, you know, six, you're messing with people's rest time, especially people like Verlander and McCullers who want to keep their schedule. So then what you're faced with is move into a rotation where you have, or into a bullpen, you have people who are designed to go in the bullpen. And so what does that happen to Matanz? What does that happen to Baez? Can Baez get there, you know, Chris? So I think there will be a trade. I'm hoping, my hope is that we get a good bat out of a trade for a center fielder. That's my hope. Because we know Jake Myers won't be back for a while. He won't be ready for opening day. And usually what that means is they won't be ready for a while because they're not going to be in game shape. And I think Chaz McCormick is great, but I think he's more aligned for a corner outfielder. And I think for me also an established bat is necessary. So my idea is that we'll these guys, hopefully. That's going to help this team a lot.
Yeah. I think you got your bullpen problem solved if you keep both those guys, but we'll see. You're probably right, man. Trading for that center fielder would be awfully nice if you got a guy that could listen. I think you can bring up, I don't know if you agree, I think you can bring up Pena if you have a center field bat, because you know what, you just replace Carlos with that center field bat as opposed to a shortstop bat.
100%. I think we're on the same page, because you know, two major things are leaving next year: Carlos's defense, and also his bat. And I think what is a good idea right now is to kind of scour the teams who have a lot of outfielders who need a starting pitcher, and that maybe could be a good fit. Maybe we find someone who's hitting 20 to 25 bombs a year. That's about the same as Carlos hitting 270. That's a good center fielder right there who's got decent defense. And then you bring up Pena, who's doing fairly well in the winter league. I think you're kind of getting right back into step of what this team is. The one major issue is you're losing Carlos's leadership. And someone will step up, but you know, Carlos's leadership does matter a lot. So that's the one thing you'll lose. But that trade could help. A big hitting center fielder could definitely help.
Well, I think leadership and elite defense, I think we take it for granted at his range, his arm. I think most other shortstops, I see at least 5 to 7 times a year where I think that's any other shortstop in the league, that's an infield hit. That's a base hit. That's not, you know, Carlos single-handedly rescues hits and turns them into outs. I think that's something that maybe isn't always taken into account because we're just so used to it. That's
well,
not the norm in the major league.
Into account his WAR. I mean,
well, no, his runs saved. I mean, there's analytic. There's statistics.
That's why he's the best position WAR guy.
There's
in
analytics
baseball.
that do factor it in. I think the average fan doesn't really think about anybody you put there is probably not going to get it to as many balls. And then
Yeah.
They're not going to throw out as many players on double plays.
That's why Jeter didn't deserve any of his gloves.
Right. That's what I've been saying for years.
That, me and you both. 8:15, that's Michael Schwab. Listen to his podcast, The Schwabcast. You can find it where you find podcasts. Michael, always great reading your stuff. Follow him on Twitter. What's your Twitter handle?
Michael Schwab 13.
Michael Schwab 13. He's a great follow. Great information there all the time about your Houston Astros. Michael, we appreciate it. Thanks for hanging and thanks for filling us in with that Bregman stuff.
Hey, absolutely appreciate you guys. Have a good one.
All right,
so we go from a big Astros fan who has his own podcast to a Texans fan coming up at 8:30. Ronnie from he just goes by Ronnie the Ronsta. He was the one, you may have seen the video, who, now he's been doing this, he's been going into trips for at least 2 years now, where he brings Fire Easterby signs. You've probably seen him before. He goes on the road with Fire Easterby signs and different signs that he holds up that he gets in the face of, like, Easterby, you know, he's yelling at. You remember Deshaun Watson's the one who went over and asked him if he could take that sign down or whatever the case may be. Now Deshaun doesn't care anymore. But he's the one who was in front of the suite, yelling into the suite at Cal McNair to sell the team.
Yeah, we'll do that.
He's going to join us at 8:30.
But right now, what about the Rockets? You want to talk Astros baseball winning. You want to talk about the Texans and all their winning. What about the Rockets winning?
Well, J-Mo, same old J-Mo's coming into town, and the Rockets are. Now, is James Harden on the Nets, are they in this kind of winning streak? No, they are not. Six-game winning streak, the Houston Rockets. You didn't think it would happen, and yet they now have a chance to take it to seven games with James Harden, Kevin Durant, and the first-place Brooklyn Nets coming into town. That's coming in town tonight. So you don't want to miss out on this marquee matchup tonight. The familiar beard is back in town. Grab your tickets at Rockets.com for the almost sold-out game before it's too late. That's going down tonight. The place is going to be packed out. You want to be there as part of it and see if the Rockets can make it seven straight and do it against Harden and Kevin Durant. Wouldn't that be incredible? Rockets-Nets, it's going on tonight at Toyota Center. See you there. Go to Rockets.com.
Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I mentioned it earlier. Now, let me ask you a question. How good would this week be, okay? This week, well, not this week, but the week of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Ole Miss plays Oklahoma State. The winner plays Alabama. Ole Miss and Oklahoma State, the winner plays Alabama. Notre Dame plays Pitt. The winner plays Cincinnati.
Oh, that's not that great. I like the other one better.
Baylor plays Michigan State. The winner plays Michigan.
It's all right.
That's okay. I'm Michigan State. Ohio State plays Utah. Instead of the Rose Bowl, they're playing each other in a playoff. The winner plays Georgia.
I don't care about Utah being there. I mean,
Utah played pretty damn well. They're 9-3.
Like I
They're
said,
pretty good team.
I'm not into teams that I don't think deserve to be. Like for me, I'm better with. If you went six, I'd be okay at six. Although this year, because of the mayhem that eventually ensued, fewer teams look playoff worthy. Honestly,
yeah. No,
if Oklahoma State had won, do you think they'd be jumped Cincinnati?
I don't know that we've seen a more flawed number one team than Alabama this year.
No, they're flawed.
They're flawed.
And because they beat up Georgia the way that they did. But I do think Georgia, Alabama. I think Ohio State is the top four team in the nation. They caught a very good Michigan team, and it was a slugfest. And I definitely think Cincinnati would get the brakes beaten off of them by Ohio State. I don't have any doubt. I think Ohio State would be probably 13-point favorite.
Let's remember, historically, Cincinnati plays them really tough.
Not the last couple times. Trust me, I've been on the wrong side of it.
But we've also seen Cincinnati come down to the fourth quarter against them.
And, how long ago?
I guess I'm old, so I've seen it. Yeah,
you've seen it, but I remember they got beat something like 44-0 2 years ago because we were excited about that game. I remember we were prime social talking about that big game coming up with Luke Fickell, and they got pummeled. And so I don't think it's a great matchup for Cincinnati. But regardless, if Oklahoma State had beat, let's say Oklahoma State scored a touchdown against Baylor. Do they jump Cincinnati? I don't think they do.
No, I don't think they do either. They didn't get the style points.
Now, Baylor's style points when you're facing a team that's a top 10 team?
They're pretty good. No, and a top 10 win would have definitely been, that would have been something that the committee would absolutely have had to look at. But I think Cincinnati would have still gotten in.
Cincinnati had a dogfight first half against Houston, and then, you know. What happened in the second half? I didn't get to see what happened. I was out of town.
8 sacks? I mean,
21 points. Is that what it was? 3.5 minutes.
Yeah, they all of a sudden they got run over, and then they couldn't.
Actually, I take it back. I actually watched their pass rusher, Myjah Sanders. I wrote him up when I was in Chicago. I had the U of H game tape on. I went and wanted to see how he did, and he was all over the place. Actually, so yeah, I did. Now that I think about it, I did see the pass rush in the second half. I didn't realize it was 8 sacks.
Yeah, it was just crazy. Anyway, I think these games would be so much fun to watch. I think Ohio State. Well, we're going to watch them in the Rose Bowl. That's something that we're definitely going to watch. It's the only game on Ohio State and Utah. And I think Utah is probably going to give them a bit of a game. Notre Dame and Pitt would be fun to see Kenny Pickett. Whether or not he could do it against a big-time opponent like Notre Dame.
Which he can.
And I think Oklahoma State and Ole Miss would be a great game.
My question is, would Matt Corral even get out of the game with a touchdown pass? That'd be the interesting thing.
Why are you having a Twitter battle with someone?
I mean...
It's not a Twitter battle.
No, it's text.
Oh, it's a text battle.
For the last hour of the show, I'm trying to do my show, and I'm getting literally Pravda over here on my text messages how Kenny Pickett's no good, and Matt Corral's the best quarterback ever played.
Why would somebody think that?
Then Matt Corral should be in New York for the Heisman ceremony with his 20 touchdown passes, but somehow Kenny Pickett's 42 are not worthy because he hasn't played anybody. This is somebody who has Case Keenum as a client.
Oh, he played also, at U of does H. Does he by any chance have Matt Corral as a client?
That's the word on the streets.
826 ESPN 97.5 at 92.5. When we come back, dude who was yelling at Cal.
Ronnie's
going to join us next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I want to see how he was treated. I'm curious to see how he was treated. It looked like the security guard who came down was not like...
He was actually pretty... Not, it seemed
he didn't
like
throw
he was,
a forearm shiver
no,
into
no,
him
no,
or
and
anything.
Actually, he just like,
he
come
didn't
on.
Grab him by the
he
arm.
Just, come
yeah.
on. Come on. That's what we saw.
You didn't
anyway.
Think you'd be able to just keep doing this, sir, yeah, right. did you? That's what the look was. Cars for Kids doesn't say, you didn't think you'd just be able to keep having this car in your driveway that doesn't run, right? You didn't think your motorcycle was going to sit there, your wife would just let you have that forever. No, I'm going to refurbish it. No, I'm going to work on it and get it back out on the road. And then you know what you don't do? You don't do that. You don't put it back together. You don't fix it. Or the car broke down, had sentimental value, and now you just realize, nah, it's just an old car that doesn't run. Listen, Cars for Kids, they work with the Houston Can Academy. And the Houston Can Academy gives young people a second chance at a diploma. So the way they fund that and finance that is through, or fund it rather, is through your donation. So when you donate your car, your truck, your motorcycle, and it doesn't matter if it's running or not running, that's what helps pay for that young person's chance to better themselves and get their diploma. And you can be part of that, and you get a tax write-off, and they're giving you a $50 Visa gift card when you mention you heard about it on ESPN 97.5. Before the end of the year, make the donation, get the tax write-off for this tax year. Donate the car and not the kid. Make sure that not donate the car. Not, write off the car. Donate the car, yeah. Don't donate the kid. They're not taking kids. But you can write off the car and not the kids with my friends over at carsforkids.org.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Warrior sound! Real. Fun. Sports.
Hey, time for me to talk about my peeps, my main man, my peeps over at HRP. Mike Holly is just awesome at what he does. Mike Holly is a cool guy, blocked for Andre Ware. I've told you this plenty of times. Put together this business, and it is just unbelievable. You should see their facility. It's on the Beltway. Brand new facility. It can't be any nicer. But the it's like, wow, this is really intricate with all the computers that you guys use. It's really, really a top-notch, unbelievable operation. And it's pretty complex because not only can you, if you have a business here, but if you have branches in other states, that's not a problem for them. They are experts at everything that they do. First of all, the payroll is going to be always going to be perfect. Their HR is going to, you know what, you don't need the liability. Let them take on the liability. But their Affordable Care Act and what they do for you with that, that alone, plus they let you choose your own benefits packages, your 401ks, your insurance, and everything else so that you get the best deals on those. Their payroll, their HR, and Affordable Care, and taxes. And listen, that's kind of a big deal. So if you're looking for a payroll company right now, it's HRMP. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, 8:32 on ESPN 97.5. Ronnie is joining us right now. And Ronnie was, if you haven't seen the video yet, Ronnie was amongst the 12 people that were at the game on Sunday. He's got the Giants sign. He wants Cal to sell the team. And you call? I don't know.
I think we all do.
One issue. He called him Tommy Boy. He called Cal.
The sign, sell the team, Tommy Boy.
Tommy Boy.
Yeah.
Tommy Boy actually saved his dad's business.
Oh.
That's
so you feel like this is not an accurate representation?
No, it's
of
not
Tommy.
Even close. If Cal can do what Tommy Boy did, I'm all in.
That guy in little coat.
If he puts on Easterby's coat and walks around, now I got a little Tommy Boy thing going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, I see.
But see, Ronnie, that's why that's where you and I take issue is if Cal turns out to be Tommy Boy and he saves the business, then okay, I've got it. But he ain't Tommy Boy. I'm telling you that right now, Ronnie.
Guys, that would be amazing if that happened. But did we ever get a Tommy Boy 2 sequel? So how do we actually know that he saved the business?
No. Well, we knew at the end he saved the business.
Well, yeah, he got the brake pad deal at the end, but yeah. He never saw the sequel.
Yeah, and plus he had some personality, a lot of personality.
Yes.
You know what Cal doesn't have? Any of those things.
No personality.
None. He's not Tommy Boy, okay? That's the only issue I take, the only umbrage I take with you. So so you're standing down there, you're yelling, and you got the sound, Aaron. For those of you who didn't hear, Ronnie's down below screaming up. Somebody took a nice video of you, and here's Ronnie screaming at Cal McNair on Sunday.
The team, you loser! Yeah. You don't care, you loser!
Kind of ugly, Ronnie. It's kind of ugly.
But to be fair, Ronnie, I think we've had you on before when Deshaun Watson came over and asked you to take the sign down when you had stuff about Jack Easterby. This, you're not new to this. I mean, you were doing this. You had signs you were sending us on Twitter last year on the road. Like, you're making road trips to games, and you want to make sure that the team and members of the team, and especially ownership, front office, whatnot, see your disgust as a Texan fan. And I thought it was interesting. I retweeted your video that was out there. I had, do you know how many people, like, it was almost 1,000 likes, John. I had, like, 200 retweets of it. And so many people, and I'm sure they reached out directly to you, said, thank you for saying what we, the fans, are thinking.
Oh, yeah. Yesterday was insane for me. I couldn't tell you how many drinks I've been offered. It's been insane. I didn't think it was going to blow up that big at all. I was tired of him having security called on me every game, telling me to put my signs down. And I finally had enough of it. And I'm like, We're getting blown out. I'm going up in the fourth quarter, and I'm going to let him hear my voice this time. So that's why I went up there and yelled at him for a little bit. That way he could hear me. Him and his whole family were just staring down at me. So they heard me, and then you know, right when the cops said, all right, it's time to leave, I was like, all right, time to leave. No worries.
So what did they where did they take you after that?
Oh, they just walked me back and they go, are you a season ticket holder? And I was like, no, I'm not a season ticket holder, but I am. I just didn't want them questioning my name and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But,
pretty smart.
Just like, ah, just go ahead and leave. But I just went back down to my seat in the lower level.
So basically, you outsmarted Cal McNair.
Well, that's...
I don't think it's that hard to do that.
You see how I threw that? That's called softball, John.
Yeah.
You see how I just lobbed it up there?
Well,
are you a season ticket holder?
No.
I am not. I just.
Oh, yeah.
We've seen you in a lot of games.
Well, wait a minute. He's the one that bought season tickets, okay? That ain't that bright, Ronnie, okay? First of all. Now you're part of the problem. Don't you feel like you're part of the problem? You're giving them money for this product, Ronnie.
I don't know, not at all. They're getting money if I'm there or not from that TV deal.
So they're going to get money from the TV, but you're giving them more.
Yeah. No, he's paying to get in and yell at them. That's fine. That's fair.
Well, that is.
I keep going. One of the rates, 50% of the reason I go still because I want to watch football, but the other half is. Me having tickets for 10-plus years and tailgating with these people, creating all these friends. It's like a family. And everyone that sits around me that we get to see 8-9 times a year. That's what it's about, too. It's not just about football.
Well,
about that family. And I don't want to miss out on that either.
Well, you're in the Texans family and Cal's your daddy. How about that? How's that? How's that sound? How's that taste? Ronnie's with us here, the guy yelling at Cal McNair. And it's kind of, man, why don't they embrace what you're doing there, Ronnie? I mean, honestly.
What do you mean, why don't they embrace? Who is they?
Cal.
The Texans?
And the Texans. I mean, they.
Sell the team, loser!
Well, we feel your pain. You know what? But he's still there. You know what, Ronnie? At least Ronnie is still there. Ronnie is saying, you know what? I love this. I want this team to win.
You know what
He still has passion. You know what most people have? You know what most people have?
What?
Nothing.
Well, no. Ronnie cares. But because there's a lot of people who don't care anymore, including people at the game. Did you see how many zoom in shots on fans they had where they were about to fall asleep and fans were – it was embarrassing. Ronnie, have you had anyone from the Texans – speak with you at any extended length? I mean, more than 30 or 40 seconds? Because you do show up with these signs a lot.
No, I've had no contact with anybody. The most contact I get at games is just the guys in the green and blue security outfits coming down telling me that they're getting calls, that my fines are too big, and blah, blah, blah. That's all I've heard.
So, Ronnie, game day atmosphere, Sunday versus, ever. I don't know. Was this the worst one ever?
This was really bad, but I'd say the worst I ever went to was when we played the Steelers on Christmas Day, and we were bad. I think that was the year Watson was hurt. That was pretty bad, but because there were so many more Steelers fans than home fans, but it's getting worse and worse each home game, and it's terrible to see, but I feel like it kind of has to come to this so we can kind of see what he's doing to this team since he's taken over, but I don't think he cares.
I don't think
he cares at all.
Oh, I think he cares. I think he. I don't know. I think he cares, but he just doesn't know how to do anything about it. That's all.
We just want to hear from him. Tell us, like, stop lying to us about things. To us, you know, you say there's these plans. He should be. He does what he does. What does he do? We never know. And I know, not all the time. The teams are going to let the fans know, but. We want to hear from people. We're tired of all the lies, you know? And enough is, it ends up being enough. And that's when I'm like, boiling point, tipped over. I'm ready to start yelling. Let them hear my mind. And it's going to happen the rest of the games all season.
How bad's the tailgate now?
Oh, my gosh. I park in the yellow lot, a shotgun 30, only grass lot at the stadium. I usually show up 8:30 and it's traffic getting in there. I showed up on Sunday at 9:30, pulled up all the way to the front, no problem. usually take 30, 45 minutes out of the parking lot, 2 minutes. It's terrible.
It's unbelievable.
And then I got to stare at that Astroworld stage too while shotgunning beers.
I'm reading all the comments.
You got to do what while shotgunning beers?
They still got the Astroworld stage set up in our parking lot too.
Wow.
Wow.
Do they really?
And you got while you're shotgunning beers. That's that is terrible.
You got to see these people who quote tweeted the video from this. Like, if I ever see him at a game, he has an open tab for life on me. I hate what management has done. You got King doing the Lord's work. Thank you for your service. Going on 6 years of terrible ownership. Do you feel like this? Please, Texans fans, if there's any of us left, let's make this guy famous. He's expressing all of our feelings right now. I mean, I think it's a man of the people. It's pretty accurate. I mean, your frustration. But, Ronnie, how long have you been doing this? What made you want to start bringing these signs to games? When did you start doing this?
When I first started doing it 3 years ago when I was getting fed up with O'Brien.
So 3 years ago.
Yeah, so I brought my Bill O'Brien signs after that terrible time in Kansas City that I drove all the way up to Kansas City for, that playoff game. And then after that whole fiasco and then the whole Easterby story comes down to hear all that, I go, well, I'm going to visit my family in Indy, so I'm bringing that Easterby sign. And then
I remember that.
And then, yep, it's almost a year to this date. It was in December last year. And then after all of the stuff that went on this off season, and I was just like, I've had enough. So I'm gonna keep voicing my opinion. I don't want to. I wish I didn't have to do all this stuff, but I want them to know how I feel. And apparently, it's how a lot more other people feel as well. So.
Oh, no, you're the voice of this movement right here. There's no question about that. Well, you're one of the only ones that'll actually go.
I've seen a paper bags come out, but can you imagine if more fans started doing what Ronnie did? And maybe not going directly to the owner's suite, but more fans started to be, for the first thing they do is confiscate any signs. By the way, this isn't your first time with a sign in a building. How are you getting these signs in there?
Hey, you got to wear a little bit baggier pants and just slide it all down through.
I got you.
That's it.
All right. Walk like you have a peg leg,
and don't carry any metal on you, so you get through the.
I have my dad every once in a while put it in the back of his pants too. So
good for dad. That's what dads are good for. Absolutely.
Yep. You have your dad muling in your signs.
That's right.
That's baller.
Yeah, that is baller.
We did it in Cleveland this year. So
good for you, Ronnie. Way to go, baby. There's Ronnie with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Giving it to Cal. Giving Cal the business. We love that. 843. Thanks, Ronnie. We appreciate it. Keep it up. We'll have you back on.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
All right. There's Ronnie right here. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And he, you know what? Shotgun and beers, he should maybe just drink some tequila. And you know what? Things will work out that way.
Yeah. Well, Maestro Dobel will help you take the edge off. I can tell you that. It is a delicious tequila. Some people, you know, who really enjoy spirits are big fans of Maestro Dobel once they've tried it. I got a friend of mine, Rob, in the neighborhood who is a big tequila fan. And I brought the Humito over there, which is the smoked silver they have. He was blown away. And that's just one of the many varietals they have. They have the Cristalino. They started that type, the Cristalino, which is a charcoal-filtered tequila. It's a blend of three different tequilas. They charcoal-filter it, and what you get, the result, is an amazingly clear and distinct flavor. It's called a Cristalino, and the name of it is the Diamante. The type is Cristalino. The name of it is Diamante. But they've got Reposado. They've got Añejos, Extra Añejos. They've got a very, very high-end Cristalino version of the Extra Añejo, which blew me away. It's the best tequila I've ever had. So whether you're a sipper, whether you're somebody who wants a great tequila in your cocktail, make sure you try my friends over at Maestro Dobel, wherever fine tequilas are sold.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5. On ESPN 97.5.
All right, time to talk about my man, Scott McGrath, over at McGrath Pest Control, 281-469-8240 or McGrathPestControl.com. Listen, you're gross if you got bugs in your house. I'm just saying. That's all I'm saying. I there's no other way to put it. If you got bugs, why? What? For who? Why? For what? Just get rid of the bugs. It's just ridiculous. There's no chance that you should have. I mean, do you want to live like that? No. So let them come. It's so easy. Hawaii or one of the guys is going to come, they're going to spray, and you're not going to see any more bugs. So you just don't. You just won't. So if you're looking for a great way to get rid of those bugs, this is one way to do it. We got rid of the mosquitoes in the backyard. We got the mosquito murdering system. It's awesome, awesome, awesome. If you're looking for a something, I mean, I'm telling you, we don't have any mosquitoes in our backyard. Get this installed now for the spring and summer when you guys are going to be out there and your kids are trying to play outside or you want to sit outside on the patio or whatever. I'm telling you, it's perfect. Perfect, perfect. It's all at McGrathPestControl.com, 281-469-8240, or McGrathPestControl.com.
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, please ask Ronnie if Hannah was awake. No.
Yeah.
That's why we're not asked. We didn't ask
actually,
him that.
That is something that needs to be asked.
Of course she wasn't. You don't have to ask.
Oh, that's true.
Also, that's Eric Layden. You can't fool us, Lance. He did sound a little bit at times, a little bit like Eric Layden. Thank you for your service, Ronnie. Tell Sign Guy to go with gifts. Offer a train set as a peace offering to Cal, and maybe he'll get a sit-down. I don't know that he wants or needs a sit-down, and he's not getting a train
this
set.
This is, and we're not getting political here. Who would you rather have run your organization, Cal McNair or Joe Biden?
Shout out to Lance and John for having my boy Ronnie on this morning. Hashtag sell the team. Hashtag Cal sucks. It's as bad as I've seen it. I mean, you know, I mean, it feels like the same vibe as when the Oilers were leaving town. That same kind of nobody cares on a Sunday.
Yeah, no, this is as apathetic as I've ever seen it. I've never seen any. It's so unbelievable. We have an NFL team that no one cares. It's so bad. Like he said, the tailgate. Back in the day, dude, remember the tailgate? It was lit. Oh, it was God. On. You could
so much fun.
You were tailgating way back at 6:10 in the blue lot because there were no space left. If you got to the game after 10 o'clock, you had nowhere to park. It was unbelievable. And the party and everywhere you went and everybody offered
you. The 6-10 season of 2010 where they were getting beat on Hail Marys because Glover Quinn smacked the ball into somebody's hands and stuff like that. And Kareem Jackson was terrible as a rookie, all that stuff. But you know what? People still packed out the tailgates and they were all there at the game and it was a party. It was a fun time. Some of it was hurt after the big fights between Cowboys fans and Texans fans where they made you have to have tickets to get into the tailgate section. I will say that pulled some fans out of the tailgating stuff. What you see now is just wholesale, complete and total apathy that I have not seen since the days of the Astros' big demise. And that's to tell you that fans will be back for the Texans. Don't think this is over. All you got to do is start winning again and kind of hit a reset. If you're able to hit a reset, you know, if I own the team.
I think there's a big difference between the 2013 Astros and the 2021 Texans is the disdain and disgust that they have for this football team.
People had disdain for Jim Crane back then.
No, I think that they thought he had a – I disagree. I think they thought he had a plan.
That we talked to at 790. I can tell you, me and Charlie did a show. People were so mad about that TV deal and not being able to watch.
That was maddening. That wasn't really on him. That was a mess. That was on between Fox Sports and Drayton and the deal that they did. That was a mess.
Yeah, Drayton's the one who screwed that.
That was Drayton's final little screw job. Yeah,
without question. But and then wouldn't give. He took his money for the TV deal and then wouldn't give it back. But you don't have hope and you don't have hope.
No.
Like right now, there's not something in the pipeline that's coming. Did y'all even talk about Zach Cunningham being suspended yesterday? Yes, just another guy who gets suspended. And I've had people say, well, boy, what is this organization doing? This, they're being run like a high school team. How about not get guys?
How about
guys
an agent
who
texted me and said, I had a guy miss two COVID tests, and he said they fined him. That's all. They didn't suspend him.
Is that what the suspension was for?
Yes, he missed one COVID test.
But he's also been a problem this year.
He has been a well.
He's been.
Do what, you guess I, who? Guess who the Texans nominated for Man of the Year?
Justin Reed.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's known as a great guy.
Really? You mean the guy you just suspended?
Well, you can be suspended for if you don't look. You have kids all the time who you have young high schoolers. Your kids, is JT a bad kid? He got in trouble before.
Yeah.
That happens. I mean, he maybe got grounded at some point. You can get in trouble without being a bad person. I don't have any doubt that Justin Reed was your guy, and that Justin Reed was back on the field this week, wasn't he?
But was it really? If it's that bad, he's suspendable.
Here's what you got:
a suspendable offense.
I don't know.
And yet he's still your man of the year.
I don't. Yeah, I don't think he's a bad guy. I think he made they feel like it he made
be,
a mistake.
No. I think the Texans hand out suspensions like they're M&Ms.
Maybe, but maybe they need to.
No other team does this.
I don't know what's going on. No other team is this terrible. Well, the Lions aren't this bad.
No, all the way around. No,
this team
is
sucks
terrible.
In the front office. The players are no good. None of these guys are. Here's the problem that you have. The problem that you have is when you're going good, you don't see the guys who are, you know, maybe potentially borderline concerns, personality wise. It doesn't really show up, right? But now all of a sudden, when the losing starts up, is the Zach Cunningham? I'm wondering, is Zach Cunningham a guy that you want as a leader on your team? Was Charles Aminihu? Was Bradley Roby? I think what the Texans and especially Nick Caserio is doing right now. Maybe it's David Culley, but I think what Nick Caserio is saying is there are some guys who you see do not have the character to withstand adversity and are not going to be the leaders our next time out. They're not going to be the leaders for our rebuild and the guys that we want running
fine.
The show.
I'm fine.
And I think Zach Cunningham is probably one of those kind of guys that's not going to be one of your leaders.
It's starting to get, though. Do we hear guys getting suspended on it? It's unbelievable. I mean, and the leader, and listen, the Texans leaders are a lot worse as far as talent goes than other leaders on other teams because the Texans suck so bad. But do we see leaders from starters from other teams? Oh, he's suspended this week because he missed a COVID test. He's suspended this week because he talked back to a coach.
You don't think there's
any
chance?
He's suspended this week because, I mean.
You think we're getting a whole story on that?
No,
I think Zach Cunningham's been more of an issue than a COVID test missed. He's been suspended previously for issues involving team rules. Maybe there's something else going on.
Or maybe
with Zach
they're
Cunningham.
Just overreactionary and they're trying to. This is like grammar
maybe
school.
I know none of those guys. I wouldn't want any of those guys. I could probably take five or six guys and say, okay, you can have the rest of the whole roster.
No, right.
The rest of the roster you can have. So maybe you are trying to say, I don't know, maybe it is overreactionary. I don't care. None of these guys are good enough. They obviously don't have leadership. They're quitting at the end of the year. I mean, this is as bad as it's been. The Colts beat them 62-3 this year. They outrushed them 400-200. Three touchdown passes, zero interceptions.
What do you mean, 300-200?
400-200 400. Rushing yards in
the
last
Texans
two games.
200 rushing yards?
They had 127 in the first game.
Wow.
And they had 70-something in the second
game.
That's
like a record.
Yeah, Mark Ingram had
a
good game.
That's a Texan
no,
record.
No, they were competitive in the first half. The Texans were really competitive. Yeah, remember they got smashed in the second half. But the Texans, I mean, this is awful. We're going to break it here. Marcus and Robert are on hold. One of them wants to talk about Phil Maton. The other one wants to talk about Lions ownership.
Okay.
I'm kind of interested to see what Marcus has to say about Lions ownership. We'll break it right here. 713-780-3776. You guys can jump in right now. If you want to come on in and talk some whatever you want. I mean, we can talk about whatever you want. We can also get into the Rockets. By the way, I made a mistake. The Rockets game against the Nets is tomorrow. You can go to Rockets.com to watch Rockets and Nets. I kind of want to get into that here, but we have the Sager coming up.
Sager's coming up. We're
going to
talk
9:15.
Yeah, we're going to talk NFL football with the Sager. That's going to happen. Right now, though, what we're talking about is Mark Klein. We're talking about December 24th. December 24th is going to be our Christmas party at Klein's, and it's going to be so much fun. And that's when you're going to pick up whatever you order from Mark Klein. Now, you can do it before. You can do it. I don't know about it. You can't do it after because it's Christmas. But now is the time to get a hold of Mark and tell him what you need. I sent him a picture of a, well, this is a designer. Was my wife listening? Anyway, I sent him a picture of something. And then, and he said, okay, I got it for you. And it's, but it's not the designer. It's the exact, it looks just like it. This is the thing. He can make whatever picture you send him. You tell him what you want. You bring in an old ring or earrings or pendant or whatever. And Mark can, and then you tell him what you want. And he does that. And he gives you full price back for what you bought, whatever it was years ago. No jeweler does this. Mark is awesome. He's got thousands of pieces in stock. He's ready for you. It's the holiday season. This is when you need Mark more than ever. Don't wait until the last minute, guys. He's at 5868 Westheimer, or you can call him 832-316-1388. You can do it over the phone, 832-316-1388, or go to KleinsJewelry.com.
ESPN. 97.5.